Discover personally how the Word of God can effect a change in your life through the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Asare. Reverend Collins is a missionary to Guyana and serves as the senior pastor of the Lighthouse Chapel International, Georgetown, Guyana, South America, a thriving church that is making a difference in so many lives. Reverend Collins is a seasoned minister. He has been ministering for over 20 years and has traveled extensively. He has a rare teaching gift and ministers powerfully under the anointing. Now here is Reverend Collins.
That as a student in a medical school, like we have medical students around, people have come from Africa, come from far, they came to study nursing, came to study medicine and all of that. In school, it is quite incompatible to start a church when you are in medical school. You can ask Jemmy. She only comes here on Sundays. Only Sunday she comes here. Gift and all the nice ladies who are here for medicine, they only come to church on Sundays. Why? Because they will tell you that their course is very demanding and that to come here on Tuesday, to go to home cell on Thursday is a little too much for what they are doing. So for a young man to believe that God has called him when he was in medical school to start a church, not a fellowship, not a Bible study group, but to start a church, Evander, that person must have believed God. Because his parents would have even told him, did I send you to school to study or to Bible? And that's what happens to most of us, even Guyanese parents. Well, one of the fantastic things they do is that they try to discourage their children from going to church. When you want to punish the child, it's I'm not sending you to church. That's the punishment. You're punishing yourself. Use something else as punishment and not to prevent your child from coming to church. You see, it is all disrespecting and dishonoring what the church is and what the God stands for. But you see, all these things are in just one scripture. The Bible says that my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. The Lord, yeah. It is the absence of the knowledge about something that makes you foolish the thing, rubbish the thing, stupefy the thing, make the thing look like it's nothing. It's because there is no knowledge about that particular thing. Hey. You see, this last week, two people said something to me. And I hope they'll be bold enough to say it. It's because many of you also have a lot of things, experiences, but you don't share it. You see, Guyanese are some way when it comes to church. It is very, you hardly see a Guyanese who is baptized into church. Yeah. It's like a letter. When I say baptized into church, I mean somebody who is fully into church. We rather find problems and find no reason and no purpose in going to church even too much. It's like you go to church too much. Why should you be around church so often? Why should you be there late? So you hardly find, I'm talking about Guyanese. If you go to other countries, it's very different. Guyanese seem to want to have a time off Sunday afternoons. Because it's the lack of knowledge. It's ignorance. I said it is ignorance. It is not a good practice. If church is a good place for you, then you rather want to even sleep in the church. So two people who don't want to share their testimony, but they must share it. Because people will not learn if you don't speak about your experience. One person messaged me and said that, it was a long something, but it's like something is preventing her from relating with me. You get it? It's like he has my picture, but he even wants to delete and destroy the picture. But it's like the picture is not being deleted, it's not being destroyed. And then there's somebody that she communicates with, and that person has my picture also. So it's like the picture that she doesn't want to see is a picture that she's seeing. You see, because there's something about relating with your pastor. A young lady, I was in Pearl. I was preaching the last week, just preaching there. And then the last night, Friday night, after I finished preaching, I went out. I was just standing by the road. I was gaffing with some people. And at a point, a young lady came to me. And she said, I've not spoken to you for a while. I said, yeah, it's true. She says, there's something that tells me it's not necessary. Don't talk to him. It's like anytime she teaches that she plans that, oh, you know, I'll talk to Reverend. There's something just tells her, man, don't worry yourself. And she's been fighting that thing. So today she decided by all means she'll come and talk to me. And she came. And then when she came, we started talking and it went to so many things. At the end of the day, a problem that she has, by the grace of God, I was able to explain to her the reason why she has that problem. Because if you find out the reason why you have that problem, the problem will cease. And the devil doesn't want the problem to cease. So you shouldn't come to somebody who will help. My people are destroyed for their lack of knowledge. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't have an idea what the lack of knowledge makes you become. You think about medicine. You see, we think that we are not doctors. We think that even medicine or health or hygiene belongs to the hospital or the doctor. So many of us don't even read medical things. Yeah, because when something is wrong, I'd rather go to the pharmacist or go and see the doctor. What about if the doctor is going to kill you? What about if the medicine they give to you is not a good medicine? Are you going to hand over your life to a doctor? Whether he cheated in the exam to get a certificate or not, you don't know. I was talking to a young lady, had surgery just the other day, 2 times surgery, because she was pregnant, and then the got spoiled or something happened to the fetus, the twin, so they had to induce pregnancy and get the things out before it kills her. The first daughter who did it didn't do it well. So she went home, days upon days, pain. Hey! Then she goes to another doctor and they discovered, oh, it's the first doctor who didn't do what he was supposed to do. So then the second doctor now cut hair again. Oh, Lord God Almighty. And then now cleans hair well. A friend of mine had some heart problems a few years ago. And then he went to a doctor, and the doctor gave him medication. And then when he came home, he went on the web, and he Googled about the medicine. And he realized that the medicine is a painkiller for horses. Yeah. And one of the side effects is impotency. I tell you. So knowledge, the lack of it, it can take you, it can kill you. Bishop, for example, Bishop doesn't handle money. He does not like to hold money. Because he says the gems that money contains, he said you don't have no idea. So he doesn't handle money. You and I, we stash. Take it out, don't we? Come on. Yeah, they stamp it. Yeah, you put it even in your bosom, because you don't have an idea what is around money. Yeah. If bishops come to a place like this, if bishop goes to a place and he's going to eat, and he sees one fly, he will not eat. He will never eat. Because he's a doctor. He knows what flies does. You, when the fly sits on the food, he's like, "Ish! Man, them flies, this cause trouble. I sanctify it in the name of Jesus." Knowledge. Yeah. Knowledge is very important. The lack of knowledge destroys people. and it destroys God's people. So God decided, you see, God created us with everything. But we thought we needed something more. That's how come the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was eaten. And that destroyed us. That even when we have knowledge, it is a knowledge that we use in a wrong way. If you know about sex, for example, the knowledge you get from sex is that, okay, let me try it. That is the result of the tree that Adam and Eve ate, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So instead of knowing it and not trying it or something like that, now we know it and we apply it in a very evil way. If you see money somewhere and there's nobody around, then you take it. That is why people will say you are a foolish man. If you find money somewhere, you go, you take it back to the police. It's like, what's something wrong with you? Who finds money by the roadside and takes it to the police? Policeman is blessed today. Because the knowledge now is not being used in a good way. It's used in an evil way. But even if you were to bring it from the world, you see, one of the things that even in the world we live, there's a lot of knowledge that people don't know. For example, people think that if you want to do well, you should go to a country that is prosperous. It's not like that. It's also a lack of knowledge. So God is very serious about solving the problem of the lack of knowledge. Because he loves his people, he loves his children. That's why, you know, we take our children to school. Because you can't sit home and allow your child to also sit home. The government will not have any work to do to check absentee students and check those who don't come. I just read in a paper the other day that they are now going to visit parents whose children don't come to school. I don't know why your children, you don't want your child to go to school. I don't know why. But God is interested. If David Arthur Granger is interested in people going to school and buying them the three B's, a bicycle, boat, and bus. Three B's. He's dedicating and donating buses and bicycles and boats for children who are not able to go to school because of transportation. Because he wants children to go to school. Now, if the president of the Cooperative Republic of Guyana wants the children that are not even his children to gain knowledge by going to school, how much more God? How much more God, our Father, our Heavenly Father? So God is very serious about knowledge, because he knows that the lack of knowledge destroys us. So you go to Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 15. Remember, it's that my people are destroyed. Whose people? God is the one who is speaking. God says, my people, God's people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. So he goes to Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 15. And he says, okay, I will help my people to break this curse, this yoke, this destruction that has come because of the lack of knowledge. So he says that, and I will give you pastors according to my heart. What will they do? They'll pray for you for miracles. They'll pour oil on you. They will lend you money. They'll find a house for you. No. You can't catch a fish for the church member. You have to teach the church member how to catch a fish. But church members like fishes to be given to them. It's easier and it's nicer. But no, I have to teach you how to catch a fish. I tried something the other day. Somebody was looking for accommodation. And under normal circumstances, you know, I'll pick up the phone and I'll call. Say, Charlie, oh, can we help this person? But this time, I said, oh, God will provide. We'll pray. To my surprise, not too surprised, they find something somewhere the other day, yesterday also. Jehovah Jireh. You see, it's God. I can't give you fish. But we have become very used to going to church and the pastor doing some miracle for us, or God doing something for us. Otherwise, the church is not a good church. A church that teaches knowledge, no. No. So God now has given us pastors. Pastors according to his heart. Pastors that he loves and he likes. So if God has given you a pastor that he likes, what is your problem in not liking the pastor? Sinclair, are you with me? God himself loves me and he has given me. And you say that, who is that man? Even when I speak, you don't want to listen to me. God loves him. That's why he made me a pastor. So to see God's love, you must see the people that God has given to you. And one of the ways, he said, and that pastor that he has given from his heart, the pastor will feed you with knowledge and understanding. Knowledge and understanding. So that same thing that destroys God's people, God is saving his people from it by giving them, not God giving you knowledge, but God giving you a man who will give you the knowledge. Isn't it interesting? Ah, God, if you want to help me, why don't you just help me? No. God has decided since the beginning of the earth that he will work with people. He will use people. And therefore, if you can't respect people, you can easily not be blessed, because it's the same people you may not respect. It's the same people that God may use to bless you. That's why the Bible says that you should not give up the habit of entertaining visitors. Because many people, by doing that, or not knowing, have entertained angels. You never know who is coming your way. You never know who is asking you a question. You never know who is asking you for a direction. You never know who is talking to you. Now, many people, many of us and our citizens are very disrespectful. Anytime you want to draw somebody's attention to something, the response is very disrespectful. What you want? I mean, very disrespectful. But you never know who is trying to draw your attention. Because God has chosen to work with people. So God says, if I am going to help my people with knowledge, I will give them a pastor. Oh Lord, but I don't like the pastor you gave me. Well, bad case. It's like you go to school, you say you don't like the teacher. Many of us who have gone to school and not like the teacher have not done well in the subject. Now whose fault? Is this your own fault? Is it to like the teacher or to like what he's doing in your life? You don't have to like a teacher. It's a wife and husband that you must really like. Give that to Ankara. If you don't like, you just stay with them and you're happy. Hey. Knowledge is the acquaintance with facts, with truths or principles, as from study or investigation. Acquaintance or familiarity gained by sight, experience, or report. Conversance as with a particular subject or branch of learning. So you see that in our church, that's what we are honoring our pastor today. In our church, and I have my envelope here. I have my envelope. You never see me with, you don't see me with the envelope, but today I brought my envelope. I have two. One of the knowledges we are getting here is those who forget. But you should remember. Accra, you should remember. It is forgetfulness. It is not remembering that takes us, that destroys our lives. People do not remember when they prosper a little bit. What destroys people is remembrance. If we will remember, if you remember, if only you remember and not forget, you will do the things that God wants you to do. So in our church, the pastor that God has given us is giving us knowledge and understanding through books. And one of them is those who forget. You can see how people have forgotten things and their lives have changed. Yeah. Tiffany, it's good to see you. But don't forget. used to be a cell leader. Ask her where she is now. She has forgotten. And my people, they know. Those who stay away for a long time, they know when they come, I'll preach about them. I always do that. They know it. That's why they still love me and they come. Yeah. No, you can't forget. You cannot forget that. I used to be doing better in the church. I used to be going home late in the night. You'll be surprised that when you leave and you stop doing these things, you will think that your life is going well, but you are deceived. You are deceived. It cannot be like Jesus. It couldn't be that Jesus would have been left in the grave. It cannot be that when you stop doing God's work, then you are prosperous, then you are doing well. It cannot be. I don't have to be a prophet. I don't have to be God. I don't have to be a rocket scientist to tell you and to know that your absence from God and doing his work doesn't make you happy. You don't have to tell me that. I know that. Yeah, people who used to be here, who used to be praised, who used to be raised, when you see them, you honor and respect them because we used to raise them up. Where are they? Where are they? You want to tell me that they are happy with their lives now? It's not true. It comes from the knowledge, the lack of knowledge about remembrance. So God told the Israelites when they were leaving Egypt to Canaan, he said, when thou comest to the land which floweth with milk and honey, and thou shalt remember the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt and have brought you to a promised land like this. Many of us forget. You can't forget God. You can't forget God. You can't forget God. When you didn't have a place to stay, when you didn't have food to eat, and God blessed you, God opened a door for you. When you were down by the roadside and thieves are beating you, you are hopeless, you are helpless, and God reached out his hand to you through your pastor, through a Christian brother, through somebody. Do not forget. Yeah. It's one of the things that people forget and destroys them. It's a good book. It's a good book. I can pick any book and tell you about it. Realize that you don't have the book and therefore you are being destroyed in a certain area of your life. And people who are bringing knowledge to us like this, we should honor them. We should honor them. This is not me. This is Bishop. Because God said he will give him to us so that he will feed us. Not with money. When you go to the church, they don't do nothing for you. When you go to the church, they don't do nothing for people. Yeah. When you're in the church, you're looking for help. Nobody won't help you. The help is knowledge. I said the help is knowledge. Because many Christians are also very lazy Christians. Very picky and choosy Christians. People who don't have nothing, but they have choices. They don't have nothing, but they are proud. They don't want this. They don't want that. They don't like this. And you are a Christian. You don't have humility. You want the church to just dash things to you? No. You're a lazy Christian. Yeah. You don't like clothes that somebody has worn before. No, you want brand new ones. Meanwhile, your money cannot afford them things. Hey. Lack of knowledge. So now that you can't afford that, you want somebody from the church, you want God now to give you money, then the whole relationship is messed up. So many books. I wanted to speak about a lot, but I don't have time today. I don't know. Maybe we shouldn't do our, so I can preach. Our Christian Foundation. Those who forget. People you shouldn't forget is the person who led you to Christ. The person who showed you God. Did I lead you to Christ? Am I the person who led you to Christ or somebody led you to Christ? Hey, the Lord is here this morning. Have you seen the Lord? Did I lead you to Christ? I led you to Christ. Wow, what a blessing. She said I led her to Christ. This book says that the person who led you to Christ, you shouldn't forget the person. Because the person showed you riches that you don't have an idea about. The Bible says the kingdom of God is like a treasure hidden in a field, which when a man found, he went to sell everything he has and he came to buy that field for the kingdom of God, for the treasure that somebody has led you into. It's such a blessing to be led to Christ. Somebody who led you to Christ. You cannot forget such a person. Another knowledge on fathers. Fathers. Hey, fathers are important too. A person's life, most of the time, depends on whether they have a father or they don't have a father. And when I say father, you have to understand what I mean. Because you can have a father around who really does not father you. Everybody was brought into this world by a sperm and an egg. So when you say, why fathers? Why? No. You need a father who is in the business of fathering. Now, it's very, Lennox, are you there? It's very sad, right? That one of I was asking those who have finished CXC, okay, who wrote CXC and got their results the other day. And there was a particular young lady. She passed all her 8 subjects. So I asked her, what are you doing? She says, I want to go to teacher training. So I said, what are you doing? So we decided to, you know, find out and get forms for her to fill. It's late. So ask, don't you have anybody in the house? Don't you have parents? Don't you have mother? Don't you have somebody who, it's like you have to come to the church for the pastor to rather help you and care for you and lead you and guide you into something. Meanwhile, I'm sure it's somebody brought the sperm and then somebody brought the egg and they brought the person out. So a father does not necessarily mean the person who brought you into the world. In this book, Bishop will teach you, get knowledge about 9 types of fathers. 9 types of fathers. You see, God is so loving that he doesn't give you one father. Because a father in your life is a major blessing. Yeah. Many of you, daddy, where is daddy? When was the last time you heard from daddy? Is that the father you are going to depend on? Yeah. You are lost. You are lost. You see, something as simple as this. I find it very funny, but I want to just say it too. You see, if you have a father who never drives a vehicle, it's sad. It's something. It means that even in the fathering, he has not fathered you into a vehicle. You wouldn't know anything about a vehicle. You don't even know types of vehicle. You grow up without... It's a handicap. That's why some years ago, I was coming to church. When I got to the gate, my guys, I'll call them my children because they're all small boys. I can give birth to them anyway. They opened the gate for me to come in. Then there were some boys standing out there and they were laughing. They said, Ramota, come. President Ramota, come. Security. And all kinds of foolishness they were talking about. So then I was telling the guys, I was saying, you know what? You know why they are saying what they are saying? Because they never grew up in a home where daddy comes to the house with a car. True or false? If you live in a house with your father and your mother, your father drives a car. Drives a Mercedes Benz. And then he comes to the gate. Then you are in the house, you're watching TV. Somebody has to open the gate. When daddy gets down of the out of the car and opens the gate, there's something is wrong. Yeah. When there are children in the house. Yeah. That's why they were here. They were laughing at the boys. Say, Ramota, come. Ramota, I am far better than Ramota. Yeah. You can't compare me to even Ramota. It's something that they are learning. They never had that. They are learning to open gate for your pastor. It's a blessing. They are learning. Some humility is coming inside. They are honoring. You see, and they are learning something that they can also practice when they also become fathers. Bishop Saki one day spoke of a father. It was very sad. The man had 3 sons. And then, you know, the garbage collection. It was, you know, in Africa, you take the garbage and you go very far to the dump. You go and dump it. People don't come and pick garbage. You take your garbage. It's now that they do those things. So, I mean, every Saturday morning, one of them will have to pick up the garbage and go and throw it away. He called younger son. Hey, Ivana, come and take the garbage and throw it away. He said, man, daddy, me won't go nowhere. He said, okay. He said, show in. Come. Yes, daddy, take the garbage, go and throw it away. He said, man, daddy, me won't go. He said, okay. He said, Clint, come, take it. Third son says, he doesn't want to go. He said, okay. He took it and he went himself. It's a problem. It's a problem. I said, it is a problem. Three problems. Three complicated problems. Because there is no knowledge about who a father is. Your biological father. The Bible says that if you honor your father and your mother, it shall be well with you and your days will be long here on earth. You want to live long? It's not going to the seawall with your tight. You're just going to show your body and your bumsy to people on the seawall. Yeah. You know, with your Nike shoes and your tight pants and something. You're just going to show it to boys. That's not what makes you live long. It is when you honor father and mother. But it's the knowledge you got to know about it. When your spirit is strong, some of these diseases cannot even come into your body. It's not by eating well and eating. Eating well is good, but it's the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich. Here, you gain the knowledge of nine type of fathers. Your father-in-law is also a type of father. You have to treat your father-in-law well. Now, when I say father-in-law, I don't mean your type of father-in-law. I mean a father who is connected to you. I'm talking about your wife's father, not your child mother's father, not your girlfriend's father. I'm talking about your wife, your legally, the woman who has your name, your last name. Her father is your father-in-law. That is the one I talking about. It's knowledge you must also understand. You can't call just anybody father-in-law. Which law makes him your father? Which law? It is the marriage law that must make him your father. Leroy. Yeah. If you have not done anything legally, the woman or the man's father is not your father-in-law. In fact, even if he's your father, out of the law. Your biological father, your father-in-law. There's something Bishop teaches here. He talks about substitute fathers. You see, fatherhood is like a relay, is like a race. Somebody brings you into the world. He takes care of you. There are so many things that we don't talk to fathers about. Sometimes we talk to mothers about some, but some stays in our head and we talk to our friends about it. Our lives are all over the place. I'm sure there are things that is in my daughter's life that I don't know that a friend knows. Yeah. That's why I need a pastor for my children. Because they don't see me as their pastor. They see me as somebody else. Here's a daddy. Man, daddy. Yeah, I know daddy, man. Yeah, when you tell Lois, Sunday you are singing. Say, man. I say, hey. People are blessed to sing. No, this is like, daddy wants to trouble her. Hey. So, go galang. Let somebody pastor you for me. Yeah. Then you realize that singing is an important part of life and ministry. Substitute father is a father that comes along. Sometimes, you know, somebody develops interest in you. Kevin. Yeah. You are also a perfect example. You just don't see it. Yeah. All the things you and I talk about, where is he to talk to you about that? Yeah. Substitute. So it's like God brings another man in your life who seems to be concerned about your welfare. What are you doing? It's a substitute, and you have to learn to recognize those substitute fathers. So in 1 Timothy chapter 5, I think verse 17, we are closing. I can't use all the time like that. I use some because the people didn't invite me early. They were doing all their nice, nice things. The Bible says that let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of not just honor, but double honor. Especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you go around and find out, is there a pastor around who has so many of knowledge like this written down for his church members? So it means that this, our elder, is worthy of, if there's anything like quadruple, or I don't know whichever it goes. It goes, well, quadruple and then what? Mass teachers. What's five? I mean, I don't know. What? To the power. Honor to the power something, a million. Because few churches have books written by their pastors to help them gain knowledge in life. Oh, I love this book. I preached about this book not long ago. Those who pretend. A lot of Christians pretend. And you have to watch those who come around you and they pretend. Especially those who are quiet around you. As I was preaching in Pearl, there was a lady in the church. She faced torn up. I tried to, you know, joke with her, play with her. I said, man, I like you, man. God, smile. Then I was preaching. I said, you know what? At least I appreciate her. She will smile with me, and then at least she's showing me her face just as she is. I said, this is my real face. I can't pretend. Rather than those who say, sheepishly. And then when you go, long preaching. Oh, I'm the man, man. What happened to the man? She faced torn up. I mean, I tried to joke. I tried to say. So last day when I said something, she laughed. I began to jump. I said, I'm blessed. Stand to your feet. My time is up. We'll continue the second service. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord. The elders that labor among us are worthy of double honor. Amen. Father, what a blessing it is to have a father, a bishop, a pastor who is correcting the lack of knowledge in our lives. In effect, helping us to not destroy ourselves. Thank you for Bishop Dag. We pray for a long life. We pray for more grace, more anointing. We pray for more power. We pray that, Lord, you use him to be a greater example to us, that we will pattern our lifestyles and our ministries according to the great blessing upon his life. I give you praise and I give you glory. In Jesus' name. You are here this morning, you are not saved. You see, it's one of the analogies you must know, that if you are not born again, if Jesus is not in your heart, when you die, you go to hell. There's a hell, there's a destination. You know, we are going to go somewhere. There's hell, there's heaven. We are going somewhere. You cannot just die and just, that's the end of it. No. When we die, we go to heaven or we go to hell. Pastor, please pray with me. I want to go to the best of all destinations. I want to go to heaven when I die. Pastor, please pray with me. If you are here like that, I want to pray with you. Just lift up your right hand and I'll do so. Pastor, please, I want to be born again. I want Jesus. I need Jesus. Please pray with me. If you are here like that, I want to pray for you. Just lift up your right hand. Pastor, I'm not sure whether I'll go to heaven or hell when I die. Please pray with me. God bless you. I see that hand. God bless you. If you lifted up your hand, I just want to ask you to come to me. I want to pray for you. Come. Come, sweetheart. Come. I want to pray for you. Clap for her. There's a young lady, beautiful young lady, giving her life to Christ today. She doesn't want to be destroyed for the lack of knowledge about what will happen to you when you die. Blessed be your name, oh God. Oh, clap for her. God bless you. God bless you. Wow. God bless you. All right. Pray this prayer with me. Close your eyes. Church, let's pray this prayer together. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe with my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe Jesus died for me. And I believe God raised Jesus from the dead. I open my heart and I invite Jesus Christ to come and live in my heart, to be my master and my savior. I believe that by this prayer, I am born again. My name is written in the book of life. I have everlasting life now. And I'm a child of God. Thank you, Father, for saving my soul. In Jesus' name. Amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful teaching of God's Word. For more information on the ministry of Reverend Collins, please call us on 592-231-0077 or email us at lciguyana@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.lighthousechapelguyana.org. God richly bless you.